The Anaheim Ducks have a new coach behind the bench. We'll talk about the hiring of Greg Cronin. We'll also talk a little bit about some impending free agents in the Western Conference this offseason. Who do we think is going to be on the move, and where do we think they'll land? And we'll also talk a little bit about Aiden Hill, who's been putting on a show here in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And we got to discuss his future. Is it with the Vegas Golden Knights, or will it be elsewhere? All of this and more coming up on today's episode of Locked On NHL.
Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi and hello, hockey fans. Welcome back to the Locked On NHL Podcast, Western Conference Tuesday edition. My name is Dane Lewis, host of Locked On Dallas Stars, and joining me as always, my co-host, host of Locked On Minnesota Wild, Seth Topal. Seth, how's it going today?
It's going well. It is nice to get what we've had weather-wise in Minnesota. This is why we go through the winters, the falls, the springs, is to get to this point. It's been 80s for as pretty much the last 3 weeks, and I can't get enough of it.
Yeah, that sounds nice, especially here in Texas, where 80 degrees would be considered a cold front this time of year. But I know what you guys get in the winter, we get that in the summer. It's just, you know, varying degrees of the extremes there temperature wise. But glad to hear you're well. And of course, plenty to discuss around the world of hockey today. The Anaheim Ducks, of course, have a new coach in Greg Cronin. We'll talk about that. We'll discuss some potential free agents that could be on the move throughout the Western Conference, who's going to be leaving their current teams, who could be arriving on new teams. And then Aiden Hill, who has become maybe the face of the NHL playoffs and maybe the face of the Stanley Cup Finals as it stands. Plenty to talk about today, but first we want to thank you for making Locked On NHL your first listen every single day. Be sure to follow and subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast, whether that be on an audio platform or on YouTube. We are free and available no matter where or how you choose to listen. And of course, we got to kick things off with the news out of Anaheim. A rough season for the Ducks this past year, and the team has moved on from Dallas Eakins as head coach, but now they have a new coach in Greg Cronin, who this will be the 11th coach in the franchise history of the Anaheim Ducks. 36 years of coaching and player development experience as an NHL assistant, stints in the American Hockey League, college coaching, and of course, also a co-founder of the U.S. National Team Development Program, which has seen roughly 400 players or so get drafted. And so, Seth, I'm curious to hear your initial thoughts on this hiring for a team that's been near the bottom for the past couple of seasons, but a nice few young pieces and guys like Trevor Zegras, McTavish, Troy Terry, and plenty of draft capital to go around here over the next few seasons. Your thoughts on the hiring of Greg Cronin in Anaheim?
It is interesting because it's not a name that was ever linked to the Anaheim Ducks, at least as far as, you know, we heard from kind of outside of the inner workings of this situation. I know Peter Laviolette was one that was linked to Anaheim as thinking maybe with as young of a team as you have, you go with a veteran guy to kind of like what Philly did with John Tortorella. You're bringing in a veteran guy to try to build a culture and establish a sense of winning as you move forward. But Cronin, I think, can do that by all accounts from just reading some of the opinions on Twitter about his hiring. Pretty intense guy. He's going to demand excellence from this team, but he also is very relatable to players. And so I think this is exactly what the Ducks needed. They need somebody that's going to be able to come in and figure out what will maximize each and every player on that roster to be able to get them to move forward. They've struggled with just trying to build off of some of the young talent that they have. And so Cronin coming in, being able to try to be the one to just get them on the winning track and sustain it. I think it's not a hire that we expected, but by all accounts, he should be a pretty darn good fit for this Ducks team where they're at right now.
I agree. I think Ducks fans should be pretty excited to have a guy, even though he's new to the head coaching scene in the NHL. Like we've both discussed, I mean, plenty of coaching experience. He knows the game and knows the ins and outs, but also can relate to players. He's very much made it clear in his opening press conference that he wants to establish, you know, a standard and an identity, which I feel like is something that the Ducks have lacked over the past few seasons. Sure, they've had some nice players. It's been fun to watch Trevor Zegras perform highlight plays, it seems, just about every night. You know, McTavish, decent first year in the league, and you imagine they're going to add a guy like Adam Fantilli to the mix, the guy who everyone assumes is going to go number two in the draft right now. And it could be a fun bunch. And I think the expectation still is, you know, that this isn't the end all be all. It's going to be all uphill from here. I think the Ducks still have quite a ways to go. But if you can get a guy like Cronin to come in and, you know, set the standard for the team right now, I think that could pay dividends down the road, where you have these young guys that we've talked about. Those are going to be the veterans in, you know, 3 or 4 years. And then you add a new batch of young players under them, and then that culture is established, and you're able to have a really nice team with depth pieces, with veterans, but then also you're going to have the youth that can follow in the footsteps of those veterans again. So it's definitely a step in the right direction. Not going to solve all of the problems, but I think it could be interesting to see, you know, how Cronin establishes himself, because he hasn't had experience in the NHL before. So there's probably going to be some trial by fire here, but I think if you're a Ducks fan, you have to be ecstatic about having a guy who has the history that he has. And, you know, with the current personnel and what's coming up next, you know, 6 picks in the first 3 rounds of this upcoming draft. And that seems like a pretty nice hand to be dealt if you're Cronin.
Oh, absolutely. And I think Anaheim wants to try to get to where, look at what Arizona was able to do this past season. They don't have a ton of talent. There are a lot of teams that just are more talented than them when they go head to head, but they work hard. They are not comfortable to play against. And if you do that as like a base level, a lot of nights, there are going to be plenty of games that you end up winning that you maybe shouldn't have, because if you just focus on those details, hard work, being physical along the boards, and just being careful with the puck, if he can come in and establish that as their base, they're going to surprise a lot of people here over this year, because they've got a ton of talent. They just need somebody to kind of demand a little more from that group and be able to help show them the way to get to where they want to go.
Yeah, I actually really like that comparison that you made with Arizona, because I know you and I know very well that, you know, they were not an easy out this season with, you know, the teams that we cover play in the same division. I know the Stars played them 4 times, and 2 of the games, pretty easy wins for the Stars, but 2 of them, I remember, you know, I think Arizona scored first, and they might have scored 2 goals first in those games. And even if, you know, the better team was able to rally, which a lot of times they were really never an easy out, even with all of the odds stacked against them in terms of the arena and, you know, maybe a lack of fan base there. But the Ducks don't have to worry about that. They have an arena. They have fans that, you know, still come to games and care. So there's a little bit less working against them. But that's kind of my thought as well, that we could maybe see this Anaheim team be similar to Arizona in that regard, that they're, you know, not going to make the playoffs. They're not going to be in contention in the middle or later stages of the season. But you could see some signs of life with how, you know, Cronin seems to want to approach the coaching of this team, where you're going to have guys that are bought into his system, play with a ton of intensity, and make life difficult for the opposition.
Yeah. And it's just, they have had over the last few years, they've gotten to the point of adding young talent, but it seems like they always just get, that's as far as they get. You get to the trade deadline and they're selling pieces off and they're taking a step back. And so you have to put both feet forward to be able to get this thing going back on the right track, because let's not forget, you know, 5-10 years ago, this Anaheim team was pretty good, and now they are trying to get back to that point. But it starts and ends with having an identity, knowing what your organization wants, and just executing on it.
Absolutely. And I think it could be a ton of fun to eventually be back in a hockey world where you have the Anaheim Ducks playing competitive games, and maybe the Kings stay competitive as well. And you get a little bit of a Southern California rivalry going. And that, of course, would throw a wrench in the plans of a lot of teams out in the Pacific Division. Your Edmontons, Calgary's always looking to be on top. So Maybe we're seeing, you know, a new chapter begin for this Ducks franchise with the hiring of Greg Cronin. Of course, we'll be keeping an eye on that situation as it progresses throughout the offseason with who they draft and what moves are made this offseason, as, of course, as the regular season approaches as well. But we also have to discuss some pending free agents across the NHL and how it could affect the Western Conference. Not necessarily the flashiest free agent class, but certainly some very big names in the mix. And Seth and I are going to break down a few of those names and where we think they might be headed coming up next. But first, we got to say thank you to one of the sponsors of today's episode. That is our friends over at eBay Motors. For a championship team, it's all about making sure every player is a perfect fit. And it's the same when it comes to your vehicle. Every part needs to fit just right. So the next time you need parts and accessories, head to eBay Motors. With eBay Guaranteed Fit, you can be sure every part you need fits just right the first time around. Just add your ride to My Garage and look for the green check to know if the part will fit or you'll get your money back. Because just like in sports, confidence is the name of the game when you shop on eBay Motors. And with over 122 million parts to choose from, you'll be back in the game in no time. After all, it's easy to bring home a win when the right parts are guaranteed. Get the right parts, the right fit, and the right prices on ebaymotors.com. Let's ride. eBay Guaranteed Fit only available to U.S. customers. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. I want to thank you again for making Locked On NHL your first listen every single day. Thank you to all the everydayers out there who make this podcast a part of your daily routine. Dane Lewis, Seth Topal here with you on this Western Conference Tuesday edition. And the NHL season isn't quite over yet. While we're recording this, Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Finals has just begun. The Vegas Golden Knights and the Florida Panthers going head-to-head with Vegas up 1-0. But I guess by the time people are hearing this, we'll know who is the winner of Game 2. But even with the season starting to wind down, you're starting to speculate about the offseason. And with the offseason comes the movement of free agents. And like I said before the break, not the biggest free agent class, but you look at least the list I have pulled up, you look at the first four or five so names, and these are some pretty impactful players who, depending on where they go, could change the landscape of the league as a whole, but especially specific divisions and conferences, especially as it pertains to the Western Conference. So we might could throw out a few names here, but Seth, I'm curious to know your thoughts on some potential free agents and maybe some guys that you anticipate to be on the move and maybe guys that could either be departing from the Western Conference or that could be making their way to the Western Conference.
Well, one that hits a little close to home for Wild fans, of course, is Matt Dumba, who has been with the Wild for his entire career so far. But just with the limited funds that the Wild have available this offseason, it seems highly unlikely that he will return. And it's interesting because you're not breaking any news saying that Matt Dumba is not the same player that he used to be. He's really not as much of an offensive defenseman as he was before, but you had a chance to see up close what he was able to do in that postseason series against the Stars using right. his physicality. He did that down the stretch for probably the last 2 months of the season, which was an audition for where he heads elsewhere. And so if you're seeing Matt Dumba shape himself into more of a responsible defensive defenseman, maybe not great defensively, but responsible at least, and able to use that physicality, that plays. There are plenty of teams that are looking for that type of play throughout the NHL. And so I think Dumba's free agency is going to be very interesting. Does he get multiple years from a team? Does he get a one-year deal to kind of build off of it to try to see if he still has something left in the tank? So that's going to be one that I think Wild fans will be looking at. I would imagine Dumba will head to the Eastern Conference. He is Canadian, and so would imagine he may potentially go home. Or, you know, another team that I look at, the New Jersey Devils, who are looking for a little bit of physicality to help bolster their lineup after getting beaten by the Panthers in the postseason. Two potential options for him. I'm sure there will be plenty of others, but that's a big one from a Wild perspective that is going to be fascinating to watch to kind of kick it off. A couple of others, Dane, that I look at here. One that's really interesting for me, and it's a little further down on the list, is Vince Dunn. Dunn had a great season. He had 14 goals for the Kraken this year, 64 points. And at 26 years old, seems like a guy that could be one of your like second or third pairing defensemen going forward if you shell out a little money for him to be part of that mix. So that would be an intriguing one for me because I loved everything about what the Kraken did this season. And so beyond that, I mean, you got the obvious ones at the top of the list. Patrick Kane coming off of the season that he had with the Rangers after being traded. Where does he end up? Another name that's interesting is Ryan O'Reilly, too. After going to Toronto, what does his future look like? There are some names, but as you alluded to, it's not an overly appealing free agent class, but there are plenty of names that that have some interest as to helping teams out with some free agent impact.
Absolutely. I think what is even more attractive than some of those top names is some of the depth guys. Like you mentioned, Matt Dumba. I know even Dmitry Orlov, who was with Washington. He's with Boston now, but he's going to be a free agent on the market. And I know he could potentially draw some interest as well. And another guy, defenseman in the Western Conference, who I know you're familiar with and I'm familiar with as well, John Klingberg, who since this time last year has been interested in getting a massive contract because he's starting to, he's almost 31 now. So his career is going to start, going on a downward trajectory most likely for Klingberg. And obviously he got paid a decent amount in Anaheim, but then traded to Minnesota. But that contract is expired now, $7 million. And he's not going to get the 8x8 deal that he probably really wanted at this time last year. No way Dallas was going to give that to him. I can't imagine if Minnesota is not going to look after to keep Matt Dumba, that they might not also keep John Klingberg. So I'm curious to see where he ends up, because I think he still has plenty to offer in terms of defense. I think he actually played really well in that series against the Stars, and I think he has a home somewhere. It's just a matter of who's willing to give him the money that he wants. And I get it, because I mean, you never know as an NHL player when your next game could be your last. So you want to go out and you want to get the money that you feel like you deserve. And Klingberg's been a good player for a while. So I just don't really know where I predict him ending up. Do you have any thoughts on Klingberg? Has he said anything in exit interviews or anything like that that's indicated what his future might hold?
I think all of the guys that were brought into Minnesota at the trade deadline were amenable to returning depending on the price point. I would imagine Klingberg will get some interest. It may not be the long-term type deal that he was looking for, as you alluded to, but I mean, you could sign him to a 2 or a 3 year deal and still feel like you're getting good value through to the end of that contract. Really good offensively. He was very, very good for the Wild in 5-on-5, which is what they absolutely needed down the stretch. Can run a power play too. And again, it seems like there is always value for defensemen if you're a playoff team. So I would imagine he'll have some pretty good interest, especially because he was able to turn that minus 32 in Anaheim into like a +5 with the Minnesota Wild. So I think showed that he's still got some good hockey to play. And I would not be shocked if he gets a multi-year deal out of somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. And at least the list I have here, it's a lot of big names. Kane, like you mentioned, Ryan O'Reilly, Vladimir Tarasenko. And I feel like those are some of the curious to see what the future holds from him. James Van Riemsdyk, who's been playing with Philadelphia, 34 years old. It's a weird spot to be in because he's starting to get a little bit older, in his mid-30s. He's been playing on a not-so-great team in Philadelphia over the past few seasons, so I feel like it's easy to be swayed by the numbers. But I would have to imagine that he could have something to offer if put in the right system and maybe with the right teammates. And I wonder if maybe there's a fit somewhere out there in the Western Conference, maybe even more specifically in the Pacific Division, where you're looking at these teams like Calgary, who are maybe looking to retool some things with new leadership coming in. I can't imagine in Anaheim, just given where they're at and their timeline and where Van Riemsdyk is in his. But do you see a potential move for Van Riemsdyk to come out west? Because he's only been in the East his entire career in Philly and Toronto. But I feel like that's just a name that's flown under the radar when you look at this free agency class.
hot take here. That feels like a Colorado move for me. A guy who gets an opportunity to compete for a Stanley Cup, maybe takes less money after he doesn't get what he's looking for in free agency. And so he goes to a team like Colorado for a chance to be like a second or a third line guy for them. There are going to be a ton of vacancies that they have to fill with limited funds. I don't know. Feels like that could be a real sneaky, like an Evan Rodriguez type move that they made last offseason. Feels like that could be a sneaky one for the Avs to try to go after, just to find some solid veteran depth for that offense.
Absolutely. And especially if you're not going to get a Gabe Landeskog back anytime soon. Obviously, the leadership aspect isn't the same there. I mean, that's the captain of your team. But in terms of an offensive production standpoint, where he, you know, can come into a team and come into a lineup where he doesn't have to be the guy, you still have McKinnon, you still have Rantanen and Makar, who can do a lot of the heavy lifting. But that's actually a really interesting point. I hadn't even thought Colorado, but that sounds like the exact kind of move that they would make. And probably at the last second, kind of like an Evan Rodriguez deal. Will be super interesting to follow the free agency race, if you will, over the next several weeks and next couple of months throughout the offseason. Always fun to speculate, but then, you know, we'll blink and then it'll be here and we'll be talking about all these moves and we'll probably be mostly wrong on everything, because that's just how it tends to go. These NHL executives like to make moves that no one really ever sees coming, but that's what makes it interesting, and that's what makes jobs like this so incredibly fun. So it'll be incredible to keep up with these storylines as they develop into the summer and into the offseason, and as we look at some of the movement for these players and how it affects the Western Conference and the Central and Pacific Division. Speaking of the Pacific Division, the Vegas Golden Knights going head-to-head with the Florida Panthers in the Stanley Cup Final, and Adin Hill has been a huge surprise, to say the least, here in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And coming up here in just a second, Seth and I will discuss what the future could hold for the standout goalie. I want to thank you again for making Locked On NHL your first listen of the day. Be sure to subscribe to the show on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast at. We're always free and available no matter where or how you choose to listen. And at the time of recording game two of the, regardless of what the result ended up being, by the time people hear this, the game has probably come and gone. It's safe to say Adin Hill has been one of, if not the biggest surprise of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I mean, Seth, before we dive into the future and things like that, I mean, how surprised were you? Because I know that there's people that say, oh, if you've watched what he did before this season or before this time, you know he's good. He just hasn't gotten his opportunity. So were you surprised to see this performance from Adin Hill? Or I mean, is this something that you kind of could see coming just given the injury history of the Vegas Golden Knights and, you know, just a guy getting his opportunity?
I think a couple of things on this. I was surprised because you look at the moves that the Golden Knights made at the trade deadline. They went and they got Jonathan Quick to try to help them out during the stretch. And if you would have asked me a couple of weeks ago what the Golden Knights would have done after losing Logan Thompson and Lauren Brossoit, I would have said Jonathan Quick. I would have said that's the route that they go, right? That's the veteran guy that they got to try to win them a playoff game. But then they go with Adin Hill and he's been fantastic. And this is a good cautionary tale about the numbers that goalies put up when the team around them is bad. I mean, you look at some of the previous stops that Hill has had, and if I recall correctly, it's been San Jose and Arizona.
Yes.
And not great. And so by going to a Vegas team that has a extremely solid defensive structure, you're giving your goalie some security so that they don't have to make all the plays and so that they're not constantly fending off just miscues and breakdowns. So that has helped, but it's a situation too where it's not like it's just been the Golden Knights defense that has done the heavy lifting. Hill has been fantastic. And so I think it's a situation where it's the kind of the right structure for him, for the team, that has helped maximize his skill set, and the team has helped him out as well. So he, I think, has put himself in position to make a pretty darn good payday, because What do we always see in the NHL? We see a ton of goalie turnover. We see teams that just continue to chase, trying to find that guy. And I'm thinking of two teams in particular in the Edmonton Oilers and the Toronto Maple Leafs, who just have been in a goalie chase for as far back as you can go. Now, the Oilers hope that Stuart Skinner is going to help solve that equation a little bit. But Toronto is still very much looking for somebody to fill. And so if you take Matt Murray out of the equation, maybe you have a spot for an Aiden Hill to go to Toronto and try to help them win a cup. He's going to get a pretty darn good deal, I would think, from somebody, because this has been just a fantastic run for him through this postseason. And the postseason part of it means that he's going up against the best of the best. It's not like he's playing, you know, he's not playing Chicago three times a week to put up these numbers. Like, you're going up against the best of the best offenses, the best power plays, the best everything, and he has been more than holding his own. So I think he's going to be able to secure the bag here this offseason.
Absolutely, and quite literally has been going against the best of the best. Goes against Edmonton, one of the best power plays we've seen in the league over the past several seasons, shuts them down. Dallas had one of the most prolific offensive seasons in franchise history. Jason Robertson, Roope Hintz, Joe Pavelski, Jamie Benn, I mean, so on and so forth. Just offense everywhere. He shuts them down as well. And, you know, we saw him do a pretty solid job against a Florida team that's been hard to beat. And, of course, it was punctuated with that save. I believe it was a shot from Cousins right there by the crease, just puts the stick out. And it feels like that could be a series-defining moment right there for Aiden Hill. And yeah, there's so many teams out there that are going to potentially have a hole at the goalie position. I know even up in Ottawa, I know Cam Talbot going to be a free agent this season, and it's kind of up in the air what their future looks like. And they're in this weird place where they have some young pieces and some veterans as well, like Claude Giroux, but then you have Brady Tkachuk and Alex DeBrincat as well, or likely Alex DeBrincat. I know he's an RFA this offseason too, but maybe that's an option. Toronto, like you mentioned. It's just such an interesting spot for me, though, because of the age and also the defense that is around him. Not to discredit Aiden Hill, because he is standing on his head often throughout this playoff run, but how much of that of the success is also a credit to that defensive core, which has been so good for Vegas during these playoff games. Petrangelo, Shea Theodore, Alec Martinez. I mean, those guys are laying hits on guys, but also just crowding the crease and crowding the slot and making it really difficult for teams to get in down low. And so it makes it a little bit easier for Aiden Hill to make these saves. So I just don't know if the future is in Vegas or elsewhere, because Vegas only has one goalie guaranteed to come back next year in Logan Thompson. But is his health going to be a liability? You know, those are questions that they're going to have to answer. And especially if you end up winning the cup, if you're the Vegas Golden Knights, I feel like it would just be foolish to let the guy who not outright won it for you, because they've gotten contributions elsewhere, but it almost feels like it'd be a little foolish to let him walk.
Well, and it is a gamble, because, you know, are you confident that Logan Thompson is going to be able to be that guy? An empty goalie room is a tricky thing to navigate. And so it may be that he looks around a little bit, doesn't see what he wants to see, and comes back to Vegas just to stay with that familiar structure. But it's one of those things that I do not envy having to make that decision, because you could let him go and he continues this, and then you're kicking yourself that you didn't try to keep him around long term, or you sign him to like a 3 or 4 year deal and he just does not have it, and then you're on the hook for that too. It is one of those where it feels like no matter which way you go, you probably aren't making the right call.
Right. And just to make matters even more interesting, I totally forgot until looking at it now, looking at cap friendly, Robin Lehner is also still a member of this team until 2025 with a $5 million cap hit. And you know how Vegas likes to use LTIR and all of that. So we'll have to see what transpires in that regard, but certainly an interesting discussion to be had with Aiden Hill, who has definitely, like you said, earned whatever paycheck is coming his way and been outstanding here in the postseason. But that's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On NHL. Seth, if you want to take a minute and let the people know where they can find you and your work for all things Minnesota Wild related.
Fire up Locked On Wild in your search bar. You'll find all of the different platforms that Locked On Wild is available, which includes Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music. We are on Sirius XM as well. So make sure that you tune in and follow us through the rest of the offseason. We've got player evaluations going on right now, as well as some draft coverage, some potential free agency coverage, and a couple of other long-form series that'll be running us through the offseason and getting us ready for next season as well.
Absolutely. And for myself, you can find Locked On Stars at the exact same places wherever you get your podcast at, as well as on YouTube. Offseason content just underway on the Locked On Stars podcast with player evaluations. We've done a couple of those now, and the draft coverage is going to be a little bit different this year with the Stars not having a first round pick, at least at this current juncture. So I'm going to have to do my research on some second round prospects, because this is a weird draft to not have a first round pick, because there's a lot of really nice players that you could have, but the Stars decided that they wanted Nils Lundqvist from the Rangers right before the season started. So we're going to be doing draft coverage a little bit different this year, but of course, plenty to talk about with Texas hockey this offseason. And you can find me on social media, just search at @Dane_Lewis on Twitter. But thank you to everyone again for tuning into today's episode. We'll be back here next Tuesday with another edition of Locked On NHL Western Conference Tuesdays.